Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Millionaire Mindcast, the show that focuses on all things mindset, money, and motivation to help you increase your income, impact, and influence. As always, you know who I am. If you don't, I'm Matty A., your host. Each and every week, we bring you a millionaire worth modeling after, and today's guest is going to be a great one. But hey, before we dive into today, I just want to remind all of our listeners and individuals in our community that if you're new or if you're, you know, wondering what we have going on, we are releasing new content each and every week. We're rolling out some new stuff to see where we can add more value in between the episodes. And how we're doing so is we have on our Facebook page a daily affirmation that comes out, just something that you can read, engage with, and kind of get into that state of either gratitude or focus or productivity or whatever it may be. We got daily affirmations rolling out. We also have daily quotes, right? There's a lot of brilliance. I'm a quote junkie myself, and tapping into other individuals, you know, mindset and brilliance is a great way of guiding us throughout the day. So we got a quote for you. We also have some funny videos. We have some motivational videos. Basically, content in this noisy, loud world of negativity, of distraction. If you are going to get distracted, we want it to be with our content and something that's going to uplift you and help you be more empowered and intentional about how you go through your day and how you create the world, that wealth, you know, definition and model for you, yourself, your family, and those that you care about. And if we can add a little bit of value through some of our content, that's our goal. So we're doing that consistently on the Facebook page. Also, make sure to join in on some of the conversations in the Millionaire Worth Modeling community on Facebook, where our guests and other people in the community are having daily conversations, uplifting conversations. So I invite you to join us. If you haven't done so already, you can find us on Facebook, or you can check it out on the website at mattacheson.com. Okay, so I got a great show in store for you guys today. We have Millionaire Worth Modeling, James R. Nowlin. And James is first and foremost a very accomplished individual with a great and well-known consulting business based out of Austin, Texas, operating within 15 countries. So financially, he has achieved many great things, but he's also what I like to call living more of a whole life millionaire approach, which is not being, you know, just financially successful and bankrupt in all the other areas of life. He's intentionally living like a millionaire and abundantly in all areas of life. And that's what my definition of wealth is, and of many individuals within our community, is yes, we want to be focused and intentional on creating wealth so we have more options and more choices and resources, but at the same time, none of that is going to define happiness or freedom or flexibility for you. You got to live it in all areas of life and live like a millionaire, a whole life millionaire, in all the categories that are important to you. James is doing just that. He was a survivor of childhood domestic violence and alcoholism. He almost died and was life flighted out and had a near-death experience, a canoeing accident. And so he had some ahas that he shared with that. He's also about to release his first book, The Purposeful Millionaire, 52 rules that teach people about mastering the millionaire mindset and getting the most out of life. I know each and every one of you who are probably listening to this today are looking to do just that. Even if it's just one nugget, which I know you'll get from this interview, that can change the course of your thinking, which can change the course of your action, which can change the course of your life. So today is a great interview with James R. Nowlin. Overall, he's just got an inspiring story, a great mind cast that we were able to plug in and broadcast out into the world today, and I'm glad that you are able to share in that with us. So if you haven't already done so, just a quick heads up to, you know, like our Facebook page, like our YouTube page, so you get included in that content. And also, be sure to download the top 50 millionaire recommended reads by texting all one word, Millionaire Books, to 44222. That will send you a quick little PDF with all the top recommended books from our guests and other individuals of the show. With that being said, I think that's all I got for you for right now. So let's go ahead before we dive into the show and get a quick message from our sponsor.
Have you ever wanted to tap into the minds of other successful millionaires and see exactly what things they are learning and implementing in their lives and businesses? Well, now you can by subscribing to Millionaire Notes, the exclusive monthly newsletter that delivers all the books, resources, insights, and strategies that the brightest millionaires from around the world are leveraging to build wealthier lives. Each and every month, the Millionaire Mindcast team and I compile the best tips, tools, and wisdom shared by my guests of the show, from all the mastermind groups I'm a part of, from the countless conferences I pay thousands of dollars to attend, and most importantly, the journals my millionaire mentors have given me access to. I've always been a big believer that success leaves clues, and by learning from other brilliant minds, we are able to model our way to a more rich and fulfilling life. And being that time is a limited and precious resource for all of us, we figured here at the Millionaire Mindcast team, we would do all the legwork for you, mine through all the data, and deliver you the most valuable golden nuggets that you can use and implement in your life each and every month. You don't have to do all the research. You don't have to pay hundreds or even thousands of dollars to attend the conferences and the events to gain access to this elite information for literally the price of a morning latte for just $5 a month. You can have all these delivered to your inbox. If you have any desire to increase your income, your impact, or your influence, then Millionaire Notes is for you. To receive your monthly edition, text Millionaire Notes, all one word, to 44222. There's no contracts. You can cancel at any time you like. To sign up today, all you have to do is text Millionaire Notes, all one word, to 44222. Let's dive back into the show.
Well, I'm excited for the guest that we are welcoming in today for an amazing conversation, another Mindcast, another meaningful, you know, hour of plugging into someone else's journey and experience and wisdom. Please help me welcome to the show, Mr. James Nallen. What's up, brother?
Hey, brother. Thank you for having me, Matty A.
Hey, it's awesome to be able to connect with you. You know, that's the one beautiful thing about these podcasts is we get to connect and kind of cross-pollinate experiences and wisdom. And forget who it was that connected us. I think it was Andrew, yeah?
Yeah, Andrew O'Brien.
And Andrew goes, I got a perfect guy that's totally in alignment with your community and your mission and your message. And then I started reading more about what you're doing and your mission and your message. I was like, this is my brother from another.
Hey, I feel like I've known you for years, my brother.
So for those that don't know who you are and what you're up to, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, backstory that has gotten you to where you're at today, but why don't you just get us up to speed on James Nallen and what's led you down this path of self-discovery and, you know, accomplishment.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for having me on the show, Matty. I really appreciate it. I've been looking forward to this day. And actually, before the interview, I was meditating on what I was going to say and the fact that you were willed into my life and I was willed into yours. I'm really appreciative for this moment right now.
Back
so with
you,
that
man.
Being said, thank you, thank you, thank you. Who is James Nallen? James Nallen is a guy who grew up in the rural foothills of Virginia and didn't know really what to be or how to do it. But he watched TV and he saw that the Huxtables on TV had both a successful doctor and a lawyer in the family. And James Nallen went on to go to medical school and dropped out of medical school because he didn't want to be a doctor. And then he went to law school and finished law school and practiced corporate law and decided not to do that, but eventually found himself. And throughout the time of finding himself, he became truly authentic. He became fully alive and he became fully actualized. And built his business, Excel Global Partners, into a very successful firm that's done business in more than 15 countries worldwide and in more than 20 different states, and who is now today a very happy man and a millionaire. But it took some time to get here. It's a 20-year overnight success story, and there's been a lot of work going on behind the scenes that I've done personally on myself, Matty, in order to get here, to appreciate this moment, and to find happiness, to find joy and peace, and to find a subconscious that is rooted in acceptance of myself, love, joy, hard work, abundance consciousness, and non-judgment of others.
Yeah, that is, you know, that's, you said a lot of hot words right there that I think essentially a lot of people chase, let's say, quote unquote, millionaire status
because they think it will provide them with those emotions. And oftentimes we can really, you know, manifest that and create it without money and that certain kind of achievement or accolades. But, you know, you've gone through many transformations, or what we were just discussing prior to this interview was awakenings, right? And a lot of struggles, a lot of suffering, and a lot of success at the same time. Tell us, let's rewind a little bit on your journey of, because you weren't, you know, you weren't just born this way, right? You have, like you said, had a lot of self-discovery through that journey. So what was the James Nowlin previous to this enlightened, abundantly thinking individual?
So Maddie, it's a long story, but I'm going to try to distill it into a short amount of time. So during the first 17 years of my life, I grew up in a household in which there was domestic violence and there was alcoholism as well. And I call it poverty consciousness. While we were working middle-class people and my father had a very good job, unionized job, and my mother worked at the highest paying factory in the region, we were trapped in the mindset of limitation in terms of what we could be, what we could do, and what we could achieve in life. And we thought by purchasing things that we actually were manifesting happiness or success. So that was the model by which I lived, because that's what I knew for my first 17 years in life. The other thing that was the disruption in my life, which occurred over those 17 years, was the emotional drainage of physical abuse by growing up in a household in which we were riddled by domestic violence on sometimes a daily and weekly basis. Now, I had to go through a shift in consciousness from the household in which I grew up to changing the way that I looked at the world. And that happened when I started my first year in college. And that was at the University of Virginia at the age of 17. And when I said goodbye to my mother that day, when I got dropped off at college by my parents and my sister, I, Maddie, thought that I was saying goodbye to her for the rest of my life because I thought that my dad was going to kill her. Now, I wore that baggage for the first couple of months in college, and a couple of people who are close to me to this day still remind me of not being authentic my first couple of months in college. I couldn't really focus on my studies. Although I was there, I was not there present. In the present, I was concerned about what was going on back home. And lo and behold, I made it to Thanksgiving, and then I made it to Christmas, and my mom had survived, and my dad had not killed her, for lack of better words. I felt like I had to stay home in order to protect her, but I went to the University of Virginia and felt that in some ways I was being selfish by leaving home and not protecting her. At the University of Virginia, I saw other students, middle class and some generationally moneyed families, talking very respectfully to one another, and children telling their parents, "I love you, mom. I love you, dad." And parents sending their money and their money to their kids to take courses that they just wanted to audit. And I wasn't receiving that kind of support. So what I did was, one day I talked to my mom on the phone and I said, "You know, one of the cool things that I've learned is that some of these kids here are ending the conversation with their parents saying, 'I love you.' And we don't really say that in our house. So mom, can we start that as a tradition when we talk on the phone?" And I started that as a tradition. So lo and behold, Maddie, the main thing that I did is that I emulated the behaviors of people who I thought were successful in terms of love, in terms of communications, and also in terms of how they respected money and what they used money as a tool to accomplish. I saw money buying books. I saw money helping students to travel abroad and to have experiences that they would not have had if the money had been used to buy a flashy car or to buy a bigger house or flashy shoes or to pay for an expensive vacation that one could brag about among his neighbors or friends or family. So that mind shift for me started at around the age of 17. And then I just worked, and focused once I knew that, okay, my mom is most likely going to live. She has not died yet. I poured myself into my studies, dean list again and again and again, led organizations, got into medical school, got a full ride scholarship in medical school, walked away from that, continued to work, and then practice law, started my own firm. And I might not have known where the path was going to lead me, but I took the first step in creating Excel Global Partners, and I executed. And I talk about it in the book. A lot of people have an idea. Ideas are a dime a dozen. Some people can get to the planning stage, which is fine. But what really separates those who succeed financially or otherwise are those who can execute. And if I didn't know anything, I knew how to execute because I saw my parents do it. It was on a different scale. And then I did it on the level of leading Excel Global Partners. And that's how we grew. But the entire time, my abundance consciousness was growing. My interpretation of money as a tool was growing. My network was changing, which would eventually change my net worth. And all of these factors were coming together in my life to create James R. Nowlin, who is today the author of The Purposeful Millionaire, who is out with this message to share with as many people as possible. Because, Maddie, I'll tell you, if I can do it, others can do it too. This boy from the rural foothills of Virginia, who happens to be a man of color, who happens to be a gay American, who happens to have overcome a life of domestic violence and alcoholism, if he did it, you can do it too. And that's what the book is about. It's my mission to share that powerful message with others.
Now, there were some amazing things that you said in there, and there was a lot of, you know, was this, you know, you were self-actualizing a lot of your ahas that were essentially feeding into your subconscious mind, which was creating a different external reality for you. Was this just due to the fact that you were in proximity to these conversations and these experiences and these people? Or was there a mentor or someone specific that you were modeling after? Because today you're our millionaire worth modeling, right? And so I want our listeners to understand, no matter where they're at in their wealth building journey. And when we say wealth, that is a very subjective definition, because everybody may have a different, you know, recipe for what that looks like. But as you were creating your own, were you modeling after one specific individual, or were you just kind of taking all of these different ingredients and throwing them in and figuring out what your recipe was going to look like?
There were, I'm going to try to respond to this without breaking down in tears right now, but there were a lot of people who loved me and encouraged me and saw something different in me. Number one was educators. Teachers saw something different in me. Though I was bullied throughout my entire primary and secondary existence in the public school system, they saw something different and they saw light and they pushed me. They pushed me to take the accelerated placement courses. They pushed me to compete in public speaking and to become number two in the state of Virginia. They pushed me, pushed me, pushed me. And then there were other people, like a lady who I cut her grass as a teenager, and she was a retired chemistry teacher. And I mentioned her in the book, but she sat me down on the stoop of her house one day and she said, you know, you are a young man and you have a light, and I want you to go as far as possible. But right now, Lynchburg, Virginia is your existence. And Lynchburg, Virginia was all that I knew because that was my hometown. And it's a very nice, bucolic, gentle place to live, but it was certainly not a place where I saw many people who looked like me become multimillionaires. And what she told me, Maddie, she said, and my childhood nickname is JR, my family calls me JR. She said, JR, do me one favor. Once you leave here, you never come back. She said, get the hell out. Get the hell out. She said, you are too big for this place. And I will never forget that day, Maddie, when she sat me down and told me that. And every time I would see her after that, she would say, you're not going to go to college around here. You're not going to start at Central Virginia Community College. You're not going to work at one of the factories. She said, you are going to get the hell out and promise me that you will do that and go as far as you can go. And I didn't understand what she was telling me at that time, but it boiled down to this. Sometimes you've got to get the hell out and change your environment if you want to fly in rare air and get your life to a higher place. She saw that in me, and educators saw that in me, and academicians saw that in me, and role models and mentors saw that in me. And they just encouraged me, not by providing me with a specific plan, but by providing me with love and encouragement. And some of these people, they weren't educators, they weren't high achievers, but they saw the light and they saw the gold in me. And they told me, boy, you go after it. You get it, boy, and don't stop. Don't stop.
And I love that.
To this day, Maddie, I've got people, family, friends from way back when, and not a day goes by that I don't get an encouraging text, Facebook message, LinkedIn message, somebody somewhere saying, I am so proud of you. So proud of you. You keep going and don't stop.
fly in rare air. Yes. I love that because not many people get to fly at that level, at that height. And sometimes I can remember, I think a lot of individuals can pinpoint an experience where we necessarily didn't have the belief in ourselves, and yet a great leader, a great role model, a great mentor, someone who believed in us, they lent their belief in us. They saw something in us that we didn't necessarily see in ourselves. But that goes back to the power of proximity and who you surround yourself with. If you surround yourself with 9 other people that are consistently saying negative things or why you can't do something, or you know, it's they're reactive instead of being proactive in life, you're probably going to become the 10th. And it sounds like you were very blessed and fortunate to have, at that point in your life, someone lend you the belief that you needed in order to take that next step and step into a new tier of living.
Absolutely. And you know, it boils down to the rule in the book: if you want to change your net worth, you've got to change your network. And it's not saying that we have to have friends in our lives just because they're successful, because they make a certain amount of money. But if I sit down and meet somebody new and I ask the question, who are the 5 or 10 people who you spend the most time with? And I can tell you pretty much where your life is going to be and how much money you're going to make and how much financial success you're going to have. If I ask you another question, that is, you know, talk to me about how you start and end your day. That tells me a whole lot right there. And if I ask another question, what books do you read? That series of questions tells me everything that I need to know about a person and where that person's going to head in their life. Now, for me, I'm surrounded by some fantastic people, whether they're very kind, loving, hardworking people who've been blessed to make $1 billion, or positive, like-minded entrepreneurs who share best practices with me, and we chime in from time to time and say, hey, I found out about this new technology, or hey, I've got my assistant working on X, Y, and Z. Have you tried this best practice within your office? I am propelled by all that positive information and positive energy that I'm receiving because I'm surrounded by people who understand this rare air that we are flying in. And because we are in that rare air, we work to lift each other up, not to tear each other down. Now, there are some people who have more than me. There are some people who have less than me. But I believe that for me and for the rest of my life, I want to surround myself with people who not only have more, but those who have less and who aspire to be at my level. So there's a stair step process here. I'm encouraging others and others are encouraging me. And the challenge is the higher you go, the more challenging it is to find people who are higher up than you, but I'm working on that. And podcasting and interviewing and the book coming out on April 25th has opened up a new network of people to me. I'm excited to be connected with people like you. And I know that if I put the positive thoughts into the universe, that I'll be magnetizing those kinds of people into my life. It will happen. Now, I talk in the book about how people should limit the time with whom they spend the time that they spend with people who are not lucky and not happy. All of us carry energy forces with us. Some people come into our lives and they make deposits. Other people come into our lives and make deposits and withdrawals. And some people just make withdrawals. Now, we've got to step back sometimes and think about who's making constant withdrawals. Is that person serving me and am I serving that person? And what value does that person have in my life, whether it's a family member, business colleague, or friend, if you're on this journey to success? And these are hard choices that one has to make in terms of evaluating and putting into place an action plan and sticking to it, who to include and who to not include in their life. But I can tell you, Maddie, for me, I am surrounded by a circle of power, love, trust, hope, and encouragement, and it feels so good. It feels so good.
So I want to dive into that for a second because I'm a big believer in birds of a feather flock together. And, you know, looking back on my journey as well, some of the people that I am now surrounded by that are in my network, it blows my mind, right? I'm like, oh, man, how the hell did I get so lucky to be involved with these people? Well, it wasn't by accident, I'll tell you that much. So for those that are listening right now that are going, you know, I want to level up in my peer group. Oftentimes you have to edit your peer group in order to level up in it. That's a hard thought for some individuals on how do I have this conversation? Maybe it's with a parent. Maybe it's with a spouse or a partner. Maybe it's with somebody at work or it's with friends that you've known for a lifetime. How were you able to start getting intentional and identifying some of those relationships that were, you know, necessarily being the withdrawals or the division instead of the multiplication and the, you know, the addition in your life? Mm-hmm. And what did you say to him?
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, there are only so many hours in a day. And there's only so many people who can get your energy and get your time. And with having a book and running several different companies and now having a family office and that kind of thing, tough choices have to be made in terms of who's getting your time. Now, the way that I was able to make that decision is by feeling the energy forces when that person left the conversation. If I'm leaving dinner and I'm feeling depleted, well, then I know that if it's happened one, two, or three times, that we're probably not a good match for one another. If I'm leaving dinner or I'm leaving spending time with somebody and I feel uplifted and inspired and empowered with knowledge, tools, information, love, encouragement, then I'm going to want to spend more time around that person. Number one, in getting like-minded, positive people into my life, I'll tell them flat out, you know, I want more of you in my life. And I know that your schedule's busy and my schedule's busy, but let's just check in periodically to encourage one another and to keep each other lifted up. Now, for me, that comes in the form of most of my friends are, because of my training and background, they're either doctors, lawyers, or CEOs and business people. A lot of those people just check in with me on a periodic basis, and they'll have reminders on their calendar. Hey, shoot James a little love note, and I'll have a little reminder on my Outlook calendar pop up. Shoot so-and-so a little love note to give him or her encouragement, because I know the stresses that that person is going through. Now, I'll talk about some of the people who I've chosen not to have in my life right now. And that is, you look back on the trajectory of where their lives have been and where they're going, and you kind of do an assessment and say, hey, this person's in the same situation that he or she was in 5 years ago, and they're still bitching, moaning, and complaining every time I talk to that person. And what you do is you eventually wean yourself from the texting of that person or the emailing or spending time with that person. And eventually that person might ask you, well, we don't spend as much time together. And you can honestly say, well, my life is headed in a different direction. I wish you the absolute best, but my life is headed in a different direction. And I am working on advancing my network. And I feel like you and I were not going anywhere. Now, that's really tough to say. It's about delivery. And it's about how you make the other person feel, because people they might forget what you say, and they might forget how what you did to them, but they will never forget how you made them feel. But it's about being gentle to those other souls and looking at your situation and self-editing and editing those around you to make sure that as you manage the stresses of millions of dollars, client engagements, crazy travel, working 16 hours a day, trying to have a family, home, and incorporating all these things, that you're surrounded by positive energy. Because I tell you what, Maddie, you need it. And if you start to crumble with this kind of stress, as we've seen many movie stars, actresses, and other people crumble because of fame in front of our very eyes, it is hard to pick the pieces back up. And it can mean the difference between living a healthy life and living an unhealthy life. And choosing things like drugs and alcohol, adultery, all kinds of madness in one's life versus choosing really, really positive things. And the difference between good and bad is sometimes that far when your stress levels are super, super high.
Yeah.
So stay grounded, stay surrounded by positive people, and make sure that you're protecting yourself.
Well, you only have so much time in the day, right? And I think as you get older and you have more responsibilities and you have, like, I think about where I allocate my time now, it's, you know, first and foremost with my family and my daughter and my wife, then my family itself, then the people that I get to impact and surround myself with on a daily basis. And like you said, we only have so much time. And now I'm sure as hell not going to settle for allowing any of the energy vampires come in and suck the life out of me. I only want the chief energy officers that are uplifting me. And it was when I actually made a stand for that, right? And I made that a standard in my life that you either elevate up to the standard or you deselect from the standard. And that's just the way it is. I think of it, I'm a football fan. So I think of like the Heisman Trophy, you know, like anybody that comes around with some negative crap, you are getting the Heisman stiff arm to the chest, stay away. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's important. And I think what you said was something to highlight as well, is there's ways to honor those relationships and honor that individual and say, hey, I'm going this way. This is the direction that I'm heading for in my life. I would love for you to come with me. Mm-hmm. Should you choose not to, that's okay. Just know that here's where I'm going. This is what I'm doing. And you either join me or things may, you know, change and be different, but I still got love and respect for you. So I like that you brought that up. You talked a lot about, you know, when you have some of these tough conversations, there's some potential lashback or, you know, separation. How do you overcome the fear of judgment by putting yourself out there, having these tough conversations, or just in general being a public figure who's trying to impact other individuals in a positive way? Not everybody likes that, right? So how do you handle the fear of judgment or just being judged in general?
You know, for me, it's all about delivery and making the person not feel inadequate or less than, and sharing with the person the thought process that you went through and making the final decision. Now, in business, you've got to make tough calls all day long, every day, and you kind of get used to it. So I'm in this flow right now where I can deliver a message and, you know, not knock somebody off of their feet because I delivered it in the wrong way. And I think that I've gotten pretty good at that. But one thing that I'm not really concerned about for me is judgment. You know, I shared earlier with you, you know, I'm a man of color and I happen to be happily married to a man and I'm openly gay. And, you know, that has served me, that honesty, that integrity. If I can share that part of my life with somebody and not be concerned about judgment, and I can take that honesty and integrity into corporate boardrooms of Fortune companies, then I'm not focused on judgment. I'm focused on delivering solutions and results and serving as the subject matter expert who's going to help move that company from one situation to the next. So judgment, Maddie, I have to be honest, it's not something that I struggle with. I'm not a people pleaser, and I'm grateful for that. Now, I previously was a people pleaser before I came out and before I had some other disruptions in my life. But right now, at this point, at 36 years old, people pleasing and being worried about judgment is not a problem for me. The other thing that I'm not worried about is fear of success. I know financially where I'm headed. I know from a touch point perspective and touching lives around the world where I'm headed. I have no fear of success because the work has taken place not only externally, but it's taken place within myself. I am ready for the next level and beyond, and I'm constantly doing the work to prepare myself for that. And that's a good feeling. And this peace that I have within me is something that I have a hard time articulating, but boy, it feels good. It's refreshing. I have not always felt that way, but I feel this way. And in the book, I articulate my near-death experience on August 25th, 2012. That was an awakening that brought all of this to the front. And I'm appreciative for that day because of the lessons that I learned during my recovery. And I put those lessons into practice on a daily basis. That's what the 52 rules are all about.
Okay, let's dive into a little bit of it. Before we dive into the, you know, some of the 52 rules or at least your favorites, well, you said you can tell someone's success and or trajectory of success based on how they start their day and end their day.
Oh, yeah.
For those that are maybe in a rut, or maybe they are looking to, you know, put themselves on a new track, what are some of the best habits, principles, rituals that you have either seen in other successful individuals or you implement yourself to start and or end your day?
Oh, there's a long list, and hopefully I can be succinct, but one of the things that's really important is waking up at the same time every day. That's number one. Number two is go to bed at the same time every day. I wake up between 5 and 6 o'clock, regardless of whether I'm traveling or not, every single day, and I go to bed between 9 and 10 o'clock at the same time every single day. That kind of routine sets my mind into a place of purposefulness and meaningfulness throughout the day, where I know that I've got to get X done within X amount of hours, and that I also have to commit to a healthy routine of getting 8 hours of sleep every single night. Now, when I wake up in the morning, one thing that I do to show gratitude to the universe and to open my life to expansion is I make my bed, whether I'm in a hotel room, whether I am, you know, hanging out at your house, or whether I'm hanging out at a friend's house or staying with them or traveling around the world in some Airbnb or other place, I make my bed. And as I'm making my bed, I say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And that's my way of thanking the universe for this wonderful mattress that I got to sleep on, and the fact that I wasn't dealing with a leaky roof or an air conditioning or heating system that didn't work, and I had these wonderful cotton sheets to surround my body in warmth throughout the night, and that I actually had a bed to sleep on, because some people don't have that. I start the day on that gratitude note, that grace note, and it opens up the universe, it prepares the universe to bring great opportunity in my life throughout that day. So I start my day with work, and I start with gratitude, making the bed and saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. There are some other things that I do and I encourage others to do, and that is, you know, keep a sharp eye on your diet as well. Limiting sugar in your diet is one of the most amazing radical changes that can take place from a transformation perspective, inside and outside. It's pretty amazing what that can do. I limit my sugar intake, and I believe in intermittent fasting. I will have my last meal at 7:30 or so at night, and then I will go until noon or 1 o'clock the next day without eating. Of course, I'll have a cup of coffee or something like that. But that whole cleanse takes my body into a whole different phase of getting rid of those toxic cells within. And it also refreshes my mind. For example, right now, as I'm talking to you, I'm not stumbling, fumbling, searching for words because I'm not dealing with having eaten a heavy breakfast or having eaten a heavy lunch and the lethargy that comes after that. So taking care of one's body as one's vessel, this thing that transports me around the world and to meetings is really, really important. And I should care for it as such, because when one does not have his health, he has nothing. And I know that for me, I'm just a big old baby. If I get a headache, which I really, really get, or if I get the flu, which I was battling a few weeks ago, I'm a totally different human being, and I'm a big old baby. So
these, I can second that.
These daily disciplines, Maddie, daily disciplines become so much easier over time, but you've just got to find a plan that works for you. Another thing, and I know that I'm rambling on this, but is meditation. Meditation comes in different forms for different people. For me, I thought that sitting on a rug or sitting on a pillow for 20 minutes to an hour at a time was the only way to meditate. Because I have a little bit of hyperactivity going on, and because I have kind of a type A personality and I like to get a lot done, I have a hard time sitting still. So I've incorporated meditation into my yoga practice, where I close my eyes and I breathe and I go to a different place during yoga, and I bring an intention to that practice. And that is my meditation right now at 36. Now at 46, it might look like something different. At 56, it might look like something different. But right now, that is how I meditate. I meditate by doing yoga. I bring a meditation and an intention to my exercise, whether I'm trail running, free body weight lifting, which I love to do, or doing yoga. I bring that intention and I meditate upon that intention. And it does not come in the form of sitting on a pillow or a rug. And I push out the judgment. I'm no longer judging myself based upon how I meditate. I'm accepting that this is the meditation that works for me, and I'm loving it.
I love it. Everybody has their own formula of success for themselves, wealth in general. What is your definition of wealth? I'm always curious to know, is it a net worth thing? Is it a passive income thing? Is it a lifestyle design? What is your definition of wealth? What are you chasing?
What am I chasing? I am chasing options, and I am chasing peace. I'm not chasing things. I've had things, but I love having options. I love being able to put my head on the pillow at night, knowing that whatever this world brings me, I can afford a solution. If I'm trapped somewhere and I can't get out of that place, I can get out of that place if I really want to. If someone in my immediate family, and my immediate family is my mom, my sister, and my partner, is having a challenge, we're going to find a solution. If insurance says no to something, I can pick up the tab. That's a blessing that is beyond any Lamborghini, any mansion, any private jet, any of those things. Those things are fine and nice, and they have their right place for whoever wants them. But as I get older, Maddie, I love options. I love peace of mind, knowing that regardless of where this economy goes, my household is not going to become a shipwreck and I'm not going to be able to afford to get from one day to the next. I love a diversified portfolio, because when one industry goes up, the other one goes down, and it's just like this. And I've worked on balancing it out and moving it upward, upward, upward every single year. That's a good feeling. And those are some of the secrets of the wealthy that are not shared with those who are not wealthy. And I think that's unfortunate. And this book serves to unlock some of those keys to wealth so that we can demystify that wealth building, wealth creation, that wealth generational process that so many people get frustrated with. Now, if we look at the 2016 elections or whatever, it wasn't about race or anything like that. This was about power and about money. People are frustrated. And if they buy my book or not, that's their choice. but the keys are within this book about what works and what doesn't work in terms of wealth creation. Now, I've had folks approach me, oh, I get a free copy of your book, right? No, you don't get a free copy of my book, because if you can't pay the $14.99 to pay for the book, that tells me that you're not serious about wealth creation. I'm sorry, you're not serious, you're not worth my time, you're not worth the book. When people are ready, they will buy it, they will put the secrets of power into their hands, and they'll do the exercises within. They will change their subconscious. That will take time, but that book will become their Bible for success. It's so not that complicated.
So everybody in our community is intentional about wealth building and lifestyle design. For those that, you know, because it is a very lacking conversation in today's society about true wealth creation, what are, you know, give us a little tiny sneak peek, a taste of what are some of the, you know, most important and practical principles to apply or know about on your wealth building journey.
Number one is frugality, being frugal and not comparing yourself to others. Somebody else is always going to have more than you. I talk about in the book how, you know, I enjoy flying on my friend's private jets and now I don't want one.
I'm the same way.
I get to go wherever I want to go for free. And in turn, I provide them with business advice and they have a good friendship. So, you know, I can hop on a plane on coach and I can close my eyes and meditate. And my subconscious is in a place where, you know what, I'm getting from point A to point B. Maybe this person beside me wants to strike up a wonderful conversation. Maybe they don't. But because my subconscious is in a great place, it doesn't matter if I'm in the back of the plane in coach or on a friend's private jet. And I don't want for anything. So that's number one, being frugal, living below your means. I could afford a much larger house and I could afford a lot more stuff in my life. But what I learned is that the oil change for a Ferrari is $800 and it requires a lot of annual maintenance. And quite frankly, I am working on getting as many reliable things in my life that require minimal maintenance. And I like to have time. So that frugality and smart business purchases and smart personal purchases are opening up that window of opportunity for me. Number two is diversification. I am at the point where I have run and owned, and I still do own, a billable hours firm. People pay for my time. That is very challenging, particularly when there's a demand for your time coming from many directions, from people who will pay whatever amount it takes to get your time. I love it. I feel very blessed with that. But in this next generation of wealth creation for me, it means diversification. And I have a number of peers who have come into my life who've succeeded in real estate and another diversification of portfolios where that's the direction that I'm moving in, whether it's investing in multifamily housing or single family housing or corporate real estate or whatever. I am moving into working on my passive income model. Now, today I do have some passive income. It is not the point that I want it to be, but I can tell you 3 years from now, I'm going to have a lot more passive income. And 10 years from now, I will certainly be living off of my passive income and I will be paid on an hourly basis to consult, to provide subject matter expertise. My employees will be, but that's not going to be my bread and butter. So I'm excited about where I'm going, and diversification is part of that. And I would encourage listeners out there to diversify as soon as possible. And also, I think that, you know, we've got mostly entrepreneurs out there, but we've also got some people who work for the man.
Yeah.
If there's an opportunity for them to create an LLC, to go out there and to chase their dream, whether it's them moonlighting, doing something, go ahead, take that first step and start that LLC, start that business, get out there and do it and put the idea into motion, come up with a plan, put that action to play, because you never know where it is going to take you. And if I could look back 20 years at 17-year-old or 16-year-old me to say that this was going to be my lifestyle and I would be living at this level, I thought, you know, heck no, that would never happen to me. My dream was to make $100,000 a year. And pretty soon things changed in a much more radical direction where that $100,000 a year is becoming $100,000 a month, is becoming $100,000 a week, and so on. And that kind of radical transformation can happen in a person if their subconscious is in the right place. And they're also putting what I call the success formula into place, which is idea plus plan plus execution equals success. Everybody's got the idea. Ideas are a dime a dozen. You go to Thanksgiving dinner, you go to the cocktail party, and you hear guys talking about their ideas. Whoop-de-doo-dah. Who can actually get it to the plan phase? Planning, hashing out a business plan, something that will get the idea from point A to point Z, and then moving on to the execution phase where you are scared and you think about it all night long and you can't sleep and you're anxious, but you actually do it and you take that first step, is really, really powerful. And execution is where one should be spending 90% of his time. Plans are nimble. They change, and you've got to be flexible with your plan in the execution phase. But it's the interplay between planning and execution that's always going back and forth. So spend 1% of your time on the idea, roughly 9% of your time on the plan, and 90% of your time on execution, execution, execution every day on a daily basis. Continue to chip away at that dream 7 days a week. For me, even at this stage of having successful businesses, Sunday is my free day. It's family day. But you better believe that James from 6 a.m. until noon is working on his dreams, ideas, and his plans, either in his corporate office or in the library at his house, because I'm in love with it that much. Now, noon until 8 or 9 o'clock at night, that's family time. And that's when I really get to rest. I put my phone in airplane mode and I turn the dream off, and family's got my attention then. But you've got to be so in love with this where your dream and your action exceeds your excuses.
That's great. I love the success equation, you know, the idea, the plan, the execution, the wealth building equation that I often refer back to as small, smart choices made consistently over an extended period of time will get you there eventually. Many people just want that instant gratification, and the 1% on the idea, the 9% on the plan, and the 90% on the execution just hits it right on the head. Because, you know, oftentimes we all have these beautiful ideas in our head, yet they only remain beautiful ideas in our own minds unless we actually get out, create a plan, and execute on them. What has been, if you were to narrow down maybe a superpower or a strength of yours that someone could pull from and maybe apply in some way, shape, and form in their own existing world, what would you say that is?
Ooh, I think I have two.
Hey, two's better than one, so throw them at us.
Early on, I got some advice from someone, and it stuck with me, and it's going to stick with me for the rest of my life. And it's this sentence: would you rather be right, or would you rather be rich? And in every situation that I go into, I have to ask myself the question, is it about ego and being right? Or is it about moving forward from a wealth perspective and a financial creation perspective and putting the ego and the arrogance to the side? Now, in order to be the person I am, to look the way that I am, to have the background that I am, and to succeed in business at this level, I have had to put ego to the side and focus on the solution. And sometimes I might be the subject matter expert and the client knows it. Oh, James, you've done this 1,000 times. You know exactly what you're talking about, but I want to move into a different direction. Okay, that's fine. But let's talk about how to optimize the direction that you want to head into. The previous James would have battled that person down and said, you know what, I've done this 1,000 times. I know exactly what I'm talking about. So it's not about being right all the time. And being right all the time disrupts relationships and it burns bridges. So I want people to remember, would you rather be right or would you rather be rich?
Hey, that's beautiful. All right, what's number two?
Number two is authenticity. There is only one of you on this planet. Everybody else, in the words of Oscar Wilde, everyone else is taken. So be you. Embrace you. Embrace the way you look. Embrace the way you speak. Embrace the quirkiness about yourself. And, you know, it's all about being unique and not competing. If I could go back and tell myself one thing, it would be this: don't compete, be unique. And in business, we're yearning for that right now. In the podcasting space, we're yearning for that right now. With celebrity figures out there, we want unique people who love, like, and accept themselves. And in building relationships, people have to know you, they've got to like you, and they've got to trust you. It is really hard for anybody to like and trust somebody who's inauthentic. I'm talking about really, really like and trust somebody.
Yeah.
To get somebody to move $1 million from their pocket to your pocket for a service or for a product or whatever, they've got to know, like, and trust you. If you're inauthentic about one little thing about yourself, whether it's about, you know, your relationship status, your sexual orientation, your financial situation, if you're, you know, lying about something about yourself, your educational background, or you're pretending to be something that you're not, people sense it. People aren't dumb. And if you're wondering why your business or your success is not moving in a certain direction, look in the mirror. that is your greatest competition. Not only is your subconscious potentially holding you back, but you may be holding yourself back by not being fully authentic and providing the world with Matty A or James Nallen.
James, well said, brother. I got a list full of notes here. I know all those that are listening in, you better stop whatever you're doing right now. Make sure you jot some of these gems down. But if you weren't able to do so, if you're driving, if you're running, walking the dog, whatever it may be, thank goodness for our amazing team at Millionaire Mindcast. They're going to get all those links in the show notes. James, for all those that want to check out the book, Purposeful Millionaire, 52 Rules for Creating a Life of Wealth and Happiness Now, or to just follow what you're up to because you're blazing a trail, you are on fire, you're impacting a lot of people. I know I'm going to be following. Where can we go about doing that?
Well, thanks again for having me on the show, Matty. They can visit www.purposefulmillionaire.me or go to jamesnowlin.com. That's James, and as in Nancy, OWLIN.com to find out more about the book. Right now, they can download the first 20 or so pages of the book for free and get the success formula for free by going to purposefulmillionaire.me. Also on April 25th, which is launch day, we're going to be giving away Amazon gift cards and all kinds of goodies because our goal is number one Amazon bestseller status on day one. And my personal goal, Matty, is to reach 1 million lives within 1 year. So 1 year from now, I hope to be on your podcast and you can ask me the question, James, did you reach 1 million lives? And my goal is to make that answer yes, because I'm putting the success formula into place. I'm executing, 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 and I've got my subconscious in the right place. Finally, I'll say, Matty, it's important to me that people buy the book, but what's more important is that the message gets out there. So a portion of proceeds of the book is going to be donated to helping survivors of domestic violence. It took a lot for me to come out as a man who is a survivor of domestic violence and to share my story. I've had two coming outs in my life for obvious reasons. As a man, I want to speak out about domestic violence and I want to help survivors to know that tomorrow can be bright because if I survived it, they can do it too. So launch day, April 25th. I hope that as many people will join me as possible in getting this Amazon number one bestseller status. And after that, I hope to be on the speaker circuit and speaking in front of a lot more people because public speaking is my passion. It's my joy. And I want my career to very much move in that direction as I continue to run these companies on the side. They'll grow, but I just love being on stage.
Nice, man. Well, I have no doubt, one, that you will accomplish that best-selling status. Two, our community is going to be honored to support you. Three, I share in that mission and that message that you are looking to put out there. So anything we can do to get behind you, we will absolutely do so. I want to say thank you. Cheers. Appreciate your time today. And I'm excited for a long and prosperous friendship.
Thank you so much for having me, Matty.
Cheers, brother.
Well, that does it for this week's interview with James R. Nowlin. It was great getting to know him a little bit better, to hear his story, some of the, you know, trials and tribulations that he's had on his journey. And it just reminds me that every individual who has achieved great success, those individuals who, as he says, get to fly in rare air, they've done something intentionally over a long period of time to really enjoy those benefits and that lifestyle and those luxuries. And nothing is on accident. So I encourage you to not only, one, buy James's book when it comes out, but to also pick and pull maybe one or two things that you really liked from today's episode that you can apply immediately, whether that is a budget, frugality, diversity, whatever it may be in your wealth building journey and designing the lifestyle that you dream to live and enjoy on a daily basis. What's one thing from today's interview that you can immediately implement and change? And by thinking differently, you may start acting differently, which may set you on a new course and a new path to unlock a new level of a rich and fulfilling life that you may not have been able to enjoy thus far. And that's why you're listening to this show, and that's why I commend you for pouring into yourself each and every week. So I want to thank James for pouring into us, pouring into our community, and adding some value. I know I got some great notes out of it. And also, depending on where you're at in your journey, if you want to have maybe more conversations around this, be sure to make a post in the Facebook group, as we have many individuals at different stages marching to their millionaire status. And that may not just be a financial destination, it may be living like a millionaire in many areas of life, and would love to continue that conversation there. So be sure to post that, or if you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to give us a like, a thumbs up, and leave a comment or a takeaway of something that you really enjoyed from the show that you want James to know about, and maybe how he impacted your life in that, you know, 45 minutes that he poured into us today. So overall, great content, good applicable information, something that can and may change your life today. So I commend you for listening in and being a part of the Mindcast community and projecting your mindset out into the world of opportunity, as well as tapping into somebody else's. For any show notes or references to links that James made in the interview, be sure to check those out on mattacheson.com, or if you're watching this on YouTube, check the show description below. We have those notes there. And if you have any guests that you'd like to recommend on the show, any questions that you want to specifically ask them, be sure to email me. I would love to really provide the content and the individuals that you want to hear and that you want to learn from. And our reach and our expansive growth continues to give us the platform to do that. So feel free to email me, MattyA@MillionaireMindcast.com. And with that being said, I think that wraps up this Mindcast for the week. So in the meantime, always remember to keep investing in yourself and your wealth on your march to a million and beyond. Cheers, my friends.